Bodhidharma. We are said to be full the seven enlightenment factors, Bodhidharmas. Then we need to know how they are fulfilled, how the seven enlightenment factors are accomplished, both from the theoretical and practical aspects. As one is cultivating the seven enlightenment factors, Bodhidharmas, and build up momentum in the practice, the mind will become pure. As much as the mind becomes pure, the materiality, the body also will become pure, especially when we realize the clarity of blood. There will be good blood circulation with good physiological effect, with the sense organs becoming strong in awareness and sensitivity. That is upadarupa, the derived materialities, in this case sense organs, and the visible objects, and sound and so on. And then even the heartbeat will become very good and clear. So we have to, at that stage, some diseases can be cured. First and foremost, as one is cultivating the way of mindfulness, satipatthana, by activating mindfulness, as it becomes strong, one is cultivating concentration and knowledge, beginning with the discernment of mind and body, such as the observation and understanding of the elements, Dhamma, Vidya, Sambojanga, the practice of the enlightenment factor of the investigation of things. Especially when one comes to the stage of the inside knowledge of Udiyabhya Jnana, the first rising and passing away, the enlightenment factor of the investigation of states, Dhamma, Vidya, Sambojanga, will become very energized. So will be the energy viriya, such as the Arada viriya, the sustained energy, Vegahida viriya, uplifting energy, all these energies will become accomplished. And one will be able to experience rapturous feeling or piti, from minor rapture to major powerful form of rapturous feeling. At this stage, your mind and body will become very calm and tranquil. There will be peace in the mind and body, and one will become very feeling comfortable. At that stage, there will be well-being in both the mind and the body, so that at this stage, the concentration also will become, the mind will become concentrated in an extraordinary manner. Later on, you'll be able to balance two pairs of wholesome state, namely, sati and samadhi and penya, concentration and intellect, and virya and samadhi, energy and concentration. Sada and penya, faith and intellect, and energy and concentration will become balanced, so that it will become like driving a chariot drawn by two equal pairs, two equal horses. About this, the Ti Sambojanga, the enlightenment factor of mindfulness. In the beginning, it will not be so strong and so obvious. As one notes, have a rising object, beginning with the main object of rising and falling. In order to grasp it, not to miss it, in the beginning, of course, you will not be able to do that. Mostly, you will miss them, and only you will be able to note only very few objects. However, as you make a practice, with the predetermination that I will not miss anything, then noting, trying to note every arising object, you become accustomed to it, then you'll be able to practice it, and with the practice, you'll be able to cultivate this mindfulness, which has the quality of protection, protecting the mind from impurities, arekha, as we were given in the quality of mindfulness, sati. So that impurities, undermining elements, will not have a chance to enter your stream of consciousness because of the power of protection by mindfulness, sati. They will not enter. They are said to be prevented, or they are not given a chance to arise in your stream of consciousness. They are prevented with your mindfulness. So that you will be weakening these undermining elements, so to speak. If you are not mindful, all these things will enter your stream of current, stream of consciousness, like currents from all sides. Sometimes, as you come across desirable objects, objects that you like or prefer, become attached, then you will overcome by attachment, craving, and greed, lobha tanha. At this stage, this current of impurity will come down into your stream of consciousness like a waterfall with great force. Then, if you're not able to note the arising object and what will happen, there will be this wrong view, distorted view as regards the mind and body objects, known as sakaya ditthi, the distorted view of individuality. Taking the realities of mind and body as I, you, and so on, man, woman, and so on. And this is such as known as sakaya ditthi, the view of individuality or personality view. So this ego, the I ego, will enter the stream of consciousness. Because of the absence of mindfulness, every second of the time, this kind of distorted view will enter your stream of consciousness. They will fall like a current, like at times with great force of a waterfall. So, and also, when you come across undesirable objects, objects that you don't like, there will be dislike, and you become dejected. Also, in the spite of things which may cause pride, and there will be pride, conceit, mana, envy, avarice, and so on, all these things, unwholesome mental states, will fall on you like current. From all sides, these currents will flow from everywhere. In this way, the current of the unwholesomeness, dukkha-ditas, will flow. The root cause lies in the absence of mindfulness of every arising object. If you are not mindful, if you are just deluded, not knowing any object that arises, then this delusion, known as moha, will arise all the time. Every time, all the time you are not knowing the object, because you are not noting, this delusion will arise. Your mind will become deluded, so that your mind will not be clear-cut. There will be lack of clarity of vision, leading to ignorance. Two kinds of ignorance, not knowing the truth and knowing wrongly. This current of ignorance also will flow into you from all sides. However, if you are able to cultivate mindfulness, as it said, guard your mind with vigilant mindfulness of every rising. That is, guard your mind, protect your mind with vigilant mindfulness of every seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, tasting, feeling, thinking, rising, falling, sitting, standing, walking, lifting, moving, breathing. Noting every object that arises in the body as it arises immediately. If you note it, not to miss it, then this will be a very efficient mindfulness. Of course, in the beginning, you will not be able to build momentum, but later on, you will be able to gain momentum in the practice so that your mind will become pure. Knowing the mind and body, that is, being able to discriminate between the noting mind and the noted object. This is the materiality which is noted, and this is the mentality which is noting the object. In this way, you are said to be investigating or observing or understanding the realities of mind and body, such as the practice of the enlightenment factor of the investigation of states, Dhamma, Vijja, Sambojanga. So you'll be able to understand the Rupa Dhamma, the materiality, and Nama Dhamma, the mentality. In this way, every time you know, you are able to distinguish between mind and body, so that every time, for instance, you are going to sit down from standing position, there arises in you the desire or intention to sit, which arises in stages, followed by the sitting process of the body sitting down as you intend to sit. So you are able to distinguish between the mentality, which is the intention, and the materiality, which is the actual sitting process, and also the cause and effect linkage, that because of the intention to sit, there arises the actual sitting process. That is, the mind causing the body. The body is caused by the mind. In this way, as your mindfulness becomes very strong, as much as you strengthen your mindfulness, and you'll be able to cultivate knowledge, so that first you weaken the undermining elements, the defilements with the practice of mindfulness. Later on, with the cultivation of knowledge, you'll be doing away, removing, or uprooting the undermining elements. So that if you are able to understand the impermanent nature of objects, then you will be free of the view of permanence of the objects. As you come to understand the unsatisfactory nature of the objects noted, then you will overcome the view of satisfactoriness of the objects. And then you will be free from this craving and views. And that these things are arising on their own, at their will, not your will. There's no such thing as atta, self or soul in them. So they are arising at their own, not at your will. They are just mere process, mere phenomena rolling on. They are arising at their own, there's no such thing as atta, self or soul. So that you overcome the view of atta, view of self or soul. In this way, there will be free of mana and tana, there will be no pride, there will be no craving, and there will be no wrong view, because you are seeing this mind-body in a clear-cut manner, such as at the stage of cultivation of insight knowledge. Later on, when you come to see the fleeting momentary nature of experience, that is, objects arising and passing away very quickly, then you will be able to eradicate these strong views, and then that you'll be able to overcome two kinds of wrong views, namely the Occidatiti and Sasaratiti. Sasaratiti, the view of eternity, the eternity view. Knowing that things are passing away, you know that they are not eternal. They are not permanent, they are not eternal, so that you overcome the view of eternity, Sasaratiti. And although they pass away, new things are ever coming up, and by being able to know that, you also overcome the annihilation view. That means the Occidatiti, that is the view that things just dissolve and they don't come back again. So this kind of view also will be overcome. And such kind of view is known as Occidatiti, view of annihilation. Or the view of Anta, self or soul will be overcome. In this way, you will come two kinds of views, Occidatiti and Sasaratiti, the view of annihilation and the view of eternity. So such is seeing the mind-body in its own, in their own rights, in their own, in realities, such as Dhamma Vichara Sambhojanga, the enlightenment factor of the investigation of states, as regards them. Especially when you're seeing the mind and body fading away, that new objects, whole objects giving place to the new, then you know things in a clear-cut manner, just like cutting with a sharp knife. You cut it very clearly. You know it in a very clear-cut manner. Everything becomes obvious, so that if you're able to activate with mindfulness and the spirit of Satipatthana, this Sati Sambhojanga, enlightenment factor of mindfulness, it protects your mind and prevents the impurities or undermining elements from entering your stream of consciousness. And when you know the nature of these objects, that means cultivate knowledge, you will uproot all these impurities, undermining elements. So, in short, mindfulness weakens these impurities and knowledge uproots them. If one is not able to protect one's mind with the practice of mindfulness and just leave the mind uncultivated, unmindful, then these currents of impurities are bound to flow into you full time, all the time. All sorts of currents will flow into you and on a full time basis, except the time when you are fast asleep. Whenever you are awake, for all the time you are awake, you will be the victim of these currents of impurities on a full time basis. And indulging in them, you're bound to commit unwholesome deeds. In the beginning, of course, in the beginning of the practice, your mindfulness will not be so strong. Sometimes you'll be not able to know the objects. At other times, you may be missing them, forgetting them. However, you have that determination, or predetermination, that I won't give in. I won't give up. So make it a practice with your determination. In order to cultivate mindfulness, first ordinary mindfulness, leading to upatitta sati, the activated, sustained mindfulness, mindfulness which will be anchored on the object, or which will be sustained on the object of attention. And this mind is always fixed on object. Such is known as upatitta sati. Later on, as you make it a practice and strengthen your practice, building up momentum, you'll be able to come to the stage of uryabhijñāna, the fleeting momentary nature of experience. At this stage, not just the fixed mindfulness, it will be fully established, anchored mindfulness, supatitta sati. instead of upadhita sati, it becomes supupadhita or supadhita sati. The mind, the noting mind will be fully anchored on the object of attention. So that at this stage, you will be able to note every arising object and sustain mindfulness even to the extent of minute details or microscopic details which will be noted with this supadhita sati. At this stage, all these impurities and undermining elements which can arise if you are not mindful will become weakened, thus leading to the cultivation of knowledge. So with the mindfulness, these impurity currents of impurities are weakened. Their flows are weakened, and then with the cultivation of knowledge, they are cut off, stopped. The flow is stopped. So with mindfulness, you weaken them. With knowledge, you cut them off. So at one time, one devotee asked this question, how would the defilement, how would the currents are flowing everywhere? That means, kilesa currents are flowing everywhere. How would one weaken the flow of these kilesa currents? And the second question is, how would one cut them off totally? So the Buddha answered, the flow is weakened or checked with mindfulness and cut off totally with knowledge. So that is from ordinary mindfulness to extraordinary activated mindfulness, supadhita sati. When you come to this stage, you will be cultivating knowledge so as to be able to cut off all these impurities, currents of impurities. As for the devoted yogis, they are able to note because they cherish the practice of mindfulness, they appreciate it, they practice it respectfully, continuously, so that as we discussed yesterday, every time they note, their mind sinks into the object of attention as though you throw a stone into the water, it sinks. And the mindfulness, the mind sinks into the object of attention. At the same time, they are not losing sight of the ever-arising object. Such is the quality of mindfulness, which can note even minute microscopic details. And then, as you note, the noting mind will come face to face with the object of attention, noting whatever arises with steadfast recording, which is the root cause of mindfulness. At this stage, the mindfulness will become very strong, so that when the sati is very strong, the awareness or the vision of your practice will become very strong. You are able to see many things. That means when you are noting and knowing these sensations during rising and falling, such as stiffness, tension and so on, they are not just one stiffness or one tension or one relaxation. There are many things. It is stiffness, one stiffness is made up of many minute microscopic things of stiffness, minute stiffness. And you can know one thing, but you are knowing many things. So that although you are noting one thing, you are knowing many things. And also variety of other objects at the same time. And such is when the quality of mindfulness, as the mindfulness is strong, your awareness becomes very strong and panoramic. White scope becomes, the vision becomes widened. Although you're noting one thing, you are knowing many things. So that when for some yogis, they even come to remember their past life, they even in this the youth, life during their youth, of this very life, in a very wonderful manner, like a movie, being screened like a movie. And for as for others, they are even able to remember the past life. Such is the effect of Supatita Sati, the strong, mindful, activated mindfulness. So when they see the past life, our past experiences will be like possessing the supernormal knowledge, abhinyas. They're able to see things in a clear-cut manner. Thus it is said, with the strength of the power of mindfulness, the awareness and vision of experience will become very strong and fundamental. As we have discussed yesterday, about the approximate cause of the arising of activity of mindfulness, is said as steadfast recording. So as one records the ever arising object, as mindfulness becomes very strong, the noting mind sinks into the object of attention. And then one is determined not to lose any object, whether it's good or bad, and not to lose sight of it, which is given by this expression, asamosa, also the function of not forgetting or not losing sight. Because this quality is in the mindfulness, one is not losing sight of the object. And one is noting the object with diligence, wakefulness, with active mind, wakeful mind, and alertness, so as not to lose sight of any object, the noting mind becomes face to face with the object to be noted. So because of the ever diligent effort, the mindfulness becomes stronger and stronger, reaching the stage of arada virya. The energy becomes sustained. Arada virya, sustained energy. That means energy has already begun and it is ongoing. So although in the beginning the virya is normal, later on it builds a momentum, and as the virya becomes very strong, it has a quality of protecting, a quality of preventing all the impurities from arising into the stream of consciousness. Instead, it keeps the mind, it keeps the path open, or keeps the way open to wholesome things. Such is Virya Sambojanga, the enlightenment factor of energy. At this stage of sustained energy, Arada Virya, which is also rendered as Pegahida Virya. Pegahida Virya means uplifting energy. A kind of energy with, like a substance being uplifted, instead of being stagnant or coming down, it goes up and up, up and up, building up momentum, leading to Paripurna Virya, fulfilling energy. At this stage, the mind becomes very alert, diligent, wakeful, and at this time, as you may say, ardent energy. It becomes heated energy. It was very active at this stage. At this stage, there will be no chance of sluggishness or laziness to rise in you. And at this stage, the yogi will not wish to even sleep at night. His or her sleeping hours will be cut short. Instead, his or her practicing hours will increase because of the increased energy. One becomes a heroic. At this stage, there will be no shrinkage or no sluggishness, no going back. One will only advance and advance. Hence, it is said that as much as one is strong in energy, virya, knowledge will advance. There will be one knowledge after another as one becomes heroic. Hence it is said that with the strength of energy, your knowledge progresses one by one.
အဲ့ဒီအချိန်ပဲရလာပြီဆိုလို့ရှိရင်ဘုရားသံဃာ့ရှင်ကဆိုတော့လည်းပိဋိဒတ်တာဖြစ်လာတာပါပဲ။ဒါတော့အငြင်းကြီးတွေ
At this stage, as his Virya Sambojanga, the enlightenment factor of energy becomes very obvious. The impurities are prevented, opening a way to pure state of mind, so that your stream of consciousness becomes pure and pure time after time. And at this stage, there will be rapturous feeling, such as goose flesh in your body, overwhelming rapturous feeling at this stage of the fleeting momentary nature of experience, there can arise this very strong, powerful, rapturous feeling known as Pallava Priti, such as uplifting sense of uplifted into the air, and the pervading kind of Priti, as though something is pouring on you, being overwhelmed by this rapturous feeling. And then you would not wish to change or to stop your sitting position. You want to go on sitting and you don't want to even open your eyes which are closed. Such is the sign of strong piti, balava piti. And this is the cultivation. If anybody comes to this stage, he or she may be thinking about the sensual pleasures which he or she has experienced or enjoyed in the past. Now, this is like ruminating, chewing the cud. Now, as one comes to this Piti Sambojanga, the enlightenment factor of rapture or happiness, one comes to experience what is known as Dhammarati, the delight of Dhamma, or Dhamma delight, which exhales manifold the sensual delight, Dhammarati. So much so that one will not be able to forego or relinquish this kind of happiness which cultivates the mind and insight, and the kind of happiness which is good in itself, not in a mixed form, and which is unrelinquishable. Because one is gravitated, one is pulled away by the gravitational force of this Dhammarati, and one is becoming free from the pull of the gravitational force of Kamarati, sense of delight. And this we shall discuss in coming days. That's all.